give a warm welcome to Reverend Sanchez. Amen. All the way from Connecticut. Brother Sanchez.
God bless you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. The Lord is good, isn't he? Just excited to be here tonight. Thank God that my wife and two boys is here. I call them goodness and mercy. I said, I hope they follow me all the days of my life. So as long as I follow Jesus, amen. Glad for my wife that is here. She is my helpmate, amen. And she helps me a lot, and I thank God for my mother. Mama done prayed me in, amen. The prayers of a mama. My mother was, her bones was rotten. They was going to have to amputate her legs. She was always sick and in the hospital. But God began to deal with her life. And one day somebody invited her to go to church. And finally my mother said, I'm just going to go see this woman to leave me alone. And I remember helping my mother in the van because she could hardly walk. She had to have those canes, hips just rotten on the inside. Didn't know why. Remember when she got to church, the pastor called her out in the middle of the auditorium. And said, God going to heal you tonight. My mother said, I don't know if God going to heal me. I don't know about this. They said, give me your cane. My mother was like, I'm not going to give you my cane. If I fall, I'm going to sue this place. My mother's one of those people that just tell it, you know, she just say it.
Yeah.
And they took the cane from her and they told her, they said, walk. She said, well, I can't walk. I can't walk. Why do you keep trying to tell me to walk? I can't walk. But she didn't realize that while she was saying that, she was walking across the room with no cane. Amen. And then all of a sudden, she got baptized in the Holy Ghost. They told me she tore the band apart rolling. But we was home, plus we weren't saved then. Mama walked through the door carrying the cane. That stopped that card game right there, dead cold. Something happened to Mama. I didn't read that one. They didn't teach me that in religion class. Amen. My mother said, well, would you believe something if I told you? I said, I don't think I have a choice. Amen. Something happened to her. She wasn't feeble. She was different. She was different. Her life was transformed. After that, we just came into church one by one. And we've been serving God ever since. So I thank God for her prayer. Amen. You know, tonight I just feel like I graduated high school. Amen. Because I have, come on now, look at this. I have these great men of God behind me. But what a blessing, isn't it? Isn't it a blessing? Let's just give honor to the men of God that's here today. I'm just blessed to be here in their presence. The years of experience, I'm just humbled to stand here today. I'm just excited about what God is going to do. And I love it when the Lord tells me you're not preaching what you wrote. Come with nothing. Amen. That'll make you nervous. You're like, Lord, this was not a part of my plan. Amen. But how many know God has one of his own? Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet. Turn to your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm not going to be long tonight. So the person who told me I brought my pillow tonight, just in case. I'm really not going to be long tonight. I just want to say what God would have me to say. We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting with verse 41. And it's a familiar text, but it is what God laid on my heart for tonight, so I can't get around that. I'd rather bring what God tells me to bring than something just to entertain you, because then we're wasting our time. Amen. And I didn't come here to promote myself or for you to hear how good I can preach, because that won't mean anything. Amen. But I came to see a move of God. Hey, anybody in here can agree with me. If God shows up, then everything is going to change. But 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 41 says, and the Philistine came and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts and the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, And I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give thy carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Let's raise our hands and bless the Lord. Heavenly Father, we need you tonight. Father, more than anything else, Father, we need you to move. Father, you said not by might and not by power, but by your Spirit. Oh, God, fill this house tonight. Father, anoint us tonight. Father, move mountains tonight and make ways out of no way. Somebody stands in the need of prayer. God, somebody is facing a situation, God, that seems impossible. But, oh, they'll be able to testify like David and say, this day will the Lord give thee into my hands, that all the earth will know that there is a God in Olean, there is a God in New York City, there's a God in Connecticut. He's a God that's not dead, but he's a God that is alive. And he saves not with sword or by shield, not by might or by power, but by his Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, and we'll give you all the glory and all the honor. Everybody say amen, and you can be seated. Tonight I want to talk to you for just a little while, just a few minutes on this subject, giant killers. Turn around and tell your neighbor, whether you know it or not, you were born to be a giant killer. Amen. Tell them again, whether you know it or not, you're born to be a giant killer. Amen. I don't care what you look like when you look at yourself in the mirror, and I'm not concerned about what you think about yourself. I'm telling you that you were born to be a conqueror. Hit your neighbor and say, more than a conqueror. Amen. Amen. That has nothing to do with how I feel, because I don't walk by feelings. The Bible says I walk by faith. Amen. If I went by how I felt, I probably wouldn't have came to church tonight. Am I the only one in the building? Come on here. I thank God that in his word, he says that I'm more than a conqueror. I'm not what I think about myself, and I'm not about what my family thinks about me, but I am everything that God says in his word that I am. I wish somebody lift your hands and say amen right there. I wish somebody would praise him right there. Turn around, hit your neighbor and say, I am a giant killer. Amen. I'm a giant killer. Amen. I don't care how old I am, how young I am, I was destined to be more than a conqueror. You know, when we read, when we look at the scriptures in the Bible, we realize that when God created man, he always wanted somebody to be close to him, somebody that he could commune with. He wanted to be their God, that he would lead them and guide them by his Spirit. And you know, I don't got time to go through it, but as we read on through the Bible, we can find that one of the tragedies was that Israel always wanted to be like other nations. And where God wanted to be their God, and he wanted to be the invisible God that guided them, and he was an invisible God that did visible things. Amen. But when you saw the visible things that he did, you had to know it had to be by a hand of an invisible God, because surely nobody that was visible could do what this invisible God does. But the problem was, because they had their eyes on other people and other nations, that they begin to say, wait a minute, we don't want this invisible God. We want a king to rule over us. We want somebody tangible. We want somebody that we can see. We want somebody to rule over us like the other nations. And so what they actually did was they took a back seat. Because God never planned for there to be a human king over his people. He wanted to be king over his people. He wanted to lead and guide his people in the decisions that his people made. What happened actually is that it brought them further and further from God. Because now to get to God, they had to go through all these different laws and all these different statutes. Now I got to go through a priest. Now I got to go through a prophet. And now I got to go through a king. I got all of these steps to do the will of God, when God just wanted us to come to him. And have a relationship with him and get a word from him. And I got news for you. It hasn't changed. There's too many times people's looking for a prophet and looking for a king and looking for an answer somewhere. Calling every prayer line, watching every preacher on television, looking for somebody to be your intercessor. No, God wants you to have a relationship with him yourself. I'm not telling you that God won't give you a leader. Yes, we need pastors, apostles, evangelists, and teachers. But it doesn't take the place of you getting down on your knees and have a relationship with God all by yourself. Mama's not always going to be there. Daddy's not always going to be there. You're not always going to be able to pick up the cell phone and call Pastor Eastman. But if you can get down on your knees and call on Jesus, it's going to be a... Woo! Don't want to tell your neighbor, you have to have a relationship with God yourself. But they said we wanted to be a king. We want a king because we want to be like other nations. Hit your neighbor and say, you can't be like other people. That's the problem. God made you original. Amen. He said when he created you, your substance was not hidden from him. You were skillfully and wonderfully made. But too many times what happens is we're trying to copycat. We're trying to imitate. We're almost being a parakeet, if you will. Amen. And what we have to do is we have to realize that God made us original and our job is to be who God created us to be. Amen. I can't be like the church down the street. Amen. I can't do everything that everybody else does under this title Christianity because that's just a little bit too loose. And am I getting in trouble before I even start? Because that's the problem. I tell you, you can't watch every movie. You can't listen to every CD and tape. I don't care if they come under the banner Christian. Amen. If it doesn't glorify God, you snap it in half and you throw it in the trash because it's just going to contaminate your spirit. Hit your neighbors and you can't be like everybody else. They said, we want a king. We want somebody to guide us and lead us. But they didn't realize what was in the heart of man. God knew. God wanted to lead his people. And I love God because his plan is always going to be fulfilled whether you like it or not. Amen. God, he's in a garden. He's invisible. His voice walked in the garden. Amen. People wanted somebody they can see. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And Jesus became the face of God. Now there's somebody visible, Father. But then Jesus goes away and said, I'm going to send you somebody else who's going to be invisible again. And he's going to lead you and guide you into all things. So now it comes full circle. God says, now you're going to have to walk by faith. Amen. Because you're not going to see me, but you're sure going to feel me when I pass by. Tell your neighbor, I can't see him, but I sure can feel him when he passes by my way. Amen. They said, we want a king that we can look at. We want somebody that we can see, but they didn't know his heart. And soon after that fall, Saul, he falls away from God. And Samuel now, he's heartbroken. And God says, don't weep. I chosen somebody else. tell your neighbor, you're not all that. See, because here's the thing. Because sometimes when people get in leadership or get in ministry and get in a position, they think they can't be moved. They think that if they don't show up, all of heaven's going to close down. Come on here. But God was God before you were born. Amen. Woo! Come on here. And if you don't do what God has anointed you to do, God will raise somebody else up in your backyard that will sit here and do the job that you think that nobody else can do. You're not the only one in the kingdom. That's all. You don't want to do it? That's fine. I got a boy taking care of some sheep. All right. I'll raise him up. He'll do it. Now, Samuel goes to Jesse's house. Amen. He says, look, you line up all your sons. God is going to pick a king. Woo, they got excited. Called all the sons. Line on up. It's going to be good. Samuel, he checks them all out. Woo, that one's big and strong. He's muscular. Amen. Surely that's got to be the one. God said, that ain't him. All right. He said, well, I'll take a step down. Surely this one right here, he ain't got much hair. Amen. Look kind of funny, but he's the next one full of stature. God said, that's not the one. This is the one right here, because he got more college degrees than anybody I know. This boy's edumacated. Not educated, edumacated. That's when you got more degrees than you can even handle. And God said, that ain't the one. He goes down the line, and all of a sudden, Samuel said, something wrong, because I know God spoke to me, and God told me that one of your sons was going to be anointed king today. So what's going on here? There's got to be something wrong. You got somebody else that you're not telling me about. Come on, turn around and tell your neighbor that God don't always call the one you like. Come on here. Come on here. Tell your neighbor God don't always call your favorite. Amen. Because callings have nothing to do with family. I got two boys, but if God don't call them into the ministry, I ain't going to be able to take them everywhere I go, because it's not about my family. It's about God's family. It's not about my will. It's about God's will. It's not about who I want, but it's everything to do with who God chooses. So I'll tell your neighbor, God don't always choose your favorite. Samuel now, he says, well, who do you got? Because God ain't picked none of these, because they're heady and they're high-minded and they're full of pride and they don't want to listen to nobody. See, it's a good lesson right there. I could preach a long time on that, but I said I'm going to be short. Because see, when I got called into ministry and then they told me, they said, look, you're going to be able to preach. I was all excited. I got my three-piece suit. I buffed my shoes. I mean, you could see your reflection in the tip of my black shoes. I was excited. I'm going to win the world for Jesus. When I got to church, my pastor handed me a plunger, a bucket, and some rubber gloves and said, the toilet is that way. Amen. I didn't realize that my first ministry was going to be a pooper scooper. Nobody told me. Amen. They didn't tell me that in Bible college. Nobody told me I was going to be cleaning toilets and mopping floors and doing windows. But let me tell you something. I learned to take care of God's house. Because let me tell you something, young preacher. If you can't clean the toilet, you can't preach on this pulpit. If you can't vacuum that floor, you can't pray for nobody. You got to learn the value of God's house. I wish you hit your neighbor and say, you better learn to clean that toilet. I travel all over the world, I'm still cleaning toilets, amen. And I got two kids, I'm cleaning diapers too, amen. Somebody says, I'm anointed, I don't do diapers. Well, you get two kids, and your anointing is going to undo that diaper and clean your baby. Amen, you're not all that, amen. You're still human. Something wrong with these boys, because they won't bend, they won't listen. Amen, God says, I'm not going by the outside, amen. Because when you come to church, you're your best. So when you messed up in church, you messed up. Come on here. You got a bad attitude in here, you just totally messed up, because you act your best when you're in church. You dress your best. But God says, I'm looking past your garment, and I'm looking at your heart, and these ain't the one. Do you have another? Yeah, that's one. But surely you can't be wanting him, because he don't really got no potential. See, they didn't say that. But you got to understand that when they called all the sons, why wasn't he called? Because they didn't see nothing in him worth being a king. Come on, but aren't you glad that your calling is not dependent on what your neighbor thinks about you? Aren't you glad that your calling is not dependent on sometimes what some of your family members think about you? All they think you good to do is take care of sheep. But they don't realize that the one they think has got nothing is the same one that's going to deliver them tomorrow when the giant comes. Hit your neighbor and say, don't matter what you think about me. Say, all that matters is what God has called me to be. They looked at him and they said, well, he ain't worth nothing. He ain't got no potential. Matter of fact, we don't even count him as a son. Because when we called all the sons, we didn't call him. Amen. He's outside taking care of sheep. But Samuel said, we ain't doing nothing else until you call him in the house. Amen. Turn around and tell your neighbor, guess what? You may think I'm nothing, but the prophet ain't here for you. He coming for me. So they called David. Amen. Turn around and tell your neighbor. So he's going to talk to you for a minute about a house divided. Because here all these boys are with the same daddy, raised in the same house. They're hearing the same word, but they're going in two different directions. We got four that God says, I can't even use them. But there's one who's not even inside the house. And God said, the one that's in the back taking care of sheep, even though he's raised in the same house, there's something different happening on the inside of that one. And I got news for you. We're in the same church tonight, but some of us is going in one direction and some of us is going in another. Hit your neighbor and say, same house, two different directions. Some of us just came because we had to. Some of us came so Pastor could see us. Amen. Keep us in the choir. Some of us came because Mama would have locked us out if we didn't. And Daddy would have talked to us and called us on a cell phone. Amen. Some of us came, but all we're thinking about is what we're going to get at the snack shop when church is over. Some of us came, but we're thinking, I wish this big preacher would wrap it up because I'm ready to go home. Some type of sports show. But oh, in the midst of that group, there's another group in the same house tonight. That says, I came for a move of God. I came to see the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I came to see the Spirit of God move. I came to see the power of God. I came to see somebody healed. I came to see somebody changed. I came to see the power of an almighty God. What side of the house are you on tonight? What side of the house are you on? Hit your neighbor and say, what side of the house are you on? Did you come to hear a pretty message? Did you come so somebody could rub your head with oil? Because if you did, you're going to go home oily. But you're not going to be changed. Amen. If you come there to hear a message, you'll hear a message. But you'll go home with nothing in your heart in the same house. But you're going in two different directions. Amen. But I'm looking for that new generation. I'm looking for that group of people that says, oh, I came to praise Him. I came to worship Him. I came to glorify Him. I'm in the house to give God glory. My God, somebody lift your hands and give God a shout of praise. Hit your neighbor and say, what side of the house are you on? Say, where are you living? Say, because if you're sitting near me, you better get ready to praise Him. Hit your neighbor real quick and say, if you don't know how to praise Him, say, just watch me for 20 seconds. Say, because I was born to praise Him. See, because when you know what side of the house you're on, nobody's got to beg you to praise God. Nobody's got to remind you of how good God is. You already know. You come to church with... Woo! Same house, but two different directions. What side of the house are you on tonight? What are you looking for God to do? Amen. Now here's David. Covered all up in all types of sheep, blessings on his feet, hay in his hair, clothes all dirty, comes stumbling in the door, all of them all dressed up, all nice and fine. David is a wreck. His brother's like, I don't know why they wasted their time. And Samuel goes, that's the one. Because there's something about him that goes deeper than his clothes. There's something about him that goes deeper than his assignment. There's something that's more that's in David than his brothers can understand. There's a deep that goeth unto deep that God senses. And the prophet says, that's the one. Hit about three people and say, you the one? And now, here's David, down on one knee. He surprised himself. He's like, me? He said, yes, you're going to be the king of Israel, but you better not tell nobody. Gets down on one knee. Prophet Samuel takes that horn of oil and pours it on his head. And he's anointed in the midst of brothers who said you nothing. Tell your neighbor, he's anointed my head with oil in the presence of my enemies. Let me tell you something. You're not the most anointed when you're in church running that altar. Amen. You're not the most anointed when you run around here speaking in tongues. That's not when you're the most anointed. You're the most anointed when you're all by yourself and all hell comes against you and you're able to stand without falling. That's when the anointing is there. He said, I anoint you not Listen to this carefully. Not in the presence of God. That's not what he said. Because the presence of God doesn't have to be felt to be present. I don't always feel God when they tell me somebody's about to die. I don't always feel God in the midst of a terrible situation. But I do understand that even though I doesn't feel him, it doesn't mean he's not present. But God said, I anoint you with oil in the presence of your enemy. So guess what you feel when you're anointed the most? God said, you may feel all hell around you. You may feel the devil around you. You may feel a storm around you. But if you can speak my word, you're the most anointed at that moment than you ever are. His brothers could not stop or hinder his anointing. Turn around and tell your neighbor, nothing can stop or hinder my anointing. When God calls you, he makes room for your gift. Amen. You don't got to worry about how you're going to get there, who's going to call you, and what's going to happen, and how God is going to take you from this place to your final destination. You don't got to weep and cry and worry about it. That's God's job. He said, I'll lead you. You just have to follow. You just got to trust him enough. It's our non-trust that makes us question. When God? Why God? How God? When is this going to happen? When he simply says, just follow me. And every day that you walk, you're getting closer to your destination. But in your walking, there's a training process. If God was to give you everything you wanted, when you wanted it, you mess it up. So what God does is he looks at your life and he carefully examines you and he says, okay, you're here and you're asking me for this, but I really can't give you this until you get here, because if I give you this here, you're going to fall. You're going to kill it. You're not ready for it. You can't handle it. But keep walking, because by the time you get here, I'll give you what you're praying for here, right here, because now you can handle it. God loves you enough to make you wait to go through processes to make sure your spirit is strong enough to handle what you're asking for, so you don't lose it when you get it. So God says, David, I'm anointing you king, but there's still some things you got to learn from Saul. I'm anointing you king, but you're not ready to get on that throne yet. You got some things you got to learn. You want to know why you're not sitting on that throne yet? That's considered to be your place of reigning. You're not ready yet. Amen. There's things that God will speak in your spirit today. It don't mean you're going to do it tomorrow. But you got to understand that he's called you to do that assignment, so that you can understand that type of warfare that you're going to go through in order for you to go through the process to get there. So God says, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be king of Israel. But when this is done, you're going to go back and take care of your daddy's sheep. That's humility. The problem is when God calls us and we stop doing everything to try to do what he called us to do. God has called me to be an international youth pastor, so I can no longer sing in the choir. No, you better keep singing in the choir. You ain't ready yet. How do I know you're not ready yet? Because you're not there yet. When you're ready, that door open. God is bringing you through a process. Amen. And the thing is that every single one of us in this building, we have a calling that hell doesn't want you to fulfill. Amen. Everybody's not called to this pulpit, but everybody is called to preach this gospel to that dying world. Amen. Signs and wonders don't follow apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I don't read that. It says signs follow believers. Are you a believer? That means you're a candidate for the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and you got to get to the place that the Holy Spirit can work through you in the gifts of the Spirit. God is not looking for a one-man show. That day is over. There's not another Moses coming. There's not another Paul coming. God is looking for his whole house to be anointed and for every joint to supply. God didn't save you to sit in a chair, hear a message, be stirred and go home and do nothing. Amen. God expected you to stop in a supermarket and for a devil to cry out at somebody else. Woo! God is expecting you to go to the hospital and people to get out of hospital beds. How do I know? Because God has anointed you with the Holy Ghost for a purpose. Yes, I love. Oh, you know, I'm going to get in trouble when I don't have notes. I love the book of Acts. I read in the upper room and they got filled with the Holy Ghost and they talked in tongues. Half the people I know would have organized it and there would have been a club by the time they got done. They would have boxed out God. We got a monopoly on this. No, sir. But after they got done talking in tongues, wisdom had to hit somebody to say, wait a minute, we got to go outside because there's 3,000 people that don't know what's going on. And if we just keep it in this room, it'll go nowhere. You got to understand what I'm saying. I'm glad for camp meeting, but if all we do is keep the power in the house, we miss the call. I got to take what God gave me, amen, and I got to tell the world there's a God that's alive and he can change your life. Turn around and tell your neighbor, nobody can hinder your anointing. Now David's anointed in the midst of his brothers. Anybody ever been anointed by the Holy Ghost? You ought to lift your hands and just thank him for a minute. Amen. As you've been anointed by the Holy Ghost, that God has so entrusted you with a power. I talked to Pastor Eastman. I said, there's one thing that I'm asking God for. I'm not asking him for more wisdom and more understanding of the word, but I am asking God to help me use to the fullness what he's already given me so that I live to the fullness of my potential. I need to operate to the fullness what's already in me. Amen. So that God can use that for his glory. Amen. So now, David is anointed in the midst of his brothers. He goes back in humility taking care of sheep. David never had to call nobody. Turn around and tell your neighbor, God knows where you are. How do I know? Because now Saul's being attacked by a demon. Amen. David never had to promote. I was just anointed. They just anointed me. I'm going to be the next king. Somebody call me to preach a revival. No, he didn't have to tell nobody nothing. His life was a testimony of a power that he had within him. How do you know? Because when the king was possessed with a devil, his guards went up to him and said, wait a minute. I know you got a devil, but there's a boy in the house of Jesse that has the Spirit of God on him. If you call him, I know that demon that's on your life will flee. How did they know? Because to David, he was hid. Like you was hid. I know you're not going to be honest tonight. Amen. But you ever felt like you was hid? Like you got all this ministry, you got all this anointed, and you feel it in here. David knew he was more than a shepherd. Because power and potential is birthed in the heart of God's people. Amen. He knew that there was something more in him than taking care of daddy's sheep, but he was content to do his assignment until God gave him something else to do. But David knew that. But David didn't have to make his own way. And that's what we try to do sometimes. We call, we get in the pastor's face. I'm called. We try to rub shoulders on Pastor Eastman. Pastor, I'm called. I need you to use me. I'm called. You're rubbing shoulders with them. Ain't going to give you nothing but a burn. Because they can't anoint you. And they can't call you. And people can call you, but if it's not really God, it really won't last anyway. Amen. Your callings have to come from God. And God is the one who sees you. But you know who the one God's going to use in this end time is going to be? The one in the back. The one that you think is a nobody. The one that you don't even consider calling to preach your meeting. That's going to be the one that's going to come with the anointing. He's not dressed the way we think he should be dressed. He don't comb his hair the way we think he should comb his hair. But he's got a relationship with God. He's anointed now in the midst of his brothers, but he's taking care of his daddy's sheep. In other words, just because God anoints you, it doesn't mean everything around you changes. Because some people think the minute they get anointed, woohoo! It don't work that way. You're going to go through a process. Amen. God's going to take you through a process. So now David, he's anointed. He goes back to take care of his father's sheep. But now we find that Israel's called to array to a battle. Amen. Saul's calling him. I'm in my heart. It cries for Israel because they would rather keep a demon-possessed king than to ask God to lead them again. So wanting to be like everybody else. They knew there was a demon on Saul, but they kept them in leadership anyhow because they wanted their own way more than they wanted the will of God. God help us tonight. Because sometimes we want what we want so bad, we'll live with a demon to have it. Come on here. You got to listen to what I'm saying. God will deal with us. God will tell us get rid of things. God will tell us to change things. And we want our own way so much, we'll compromise. Live with a devil. Let that lead us rather than getting down on their knees and say, God, be God again. The whole nation said, we'll live with a demon-possessed king because he's my friend. We'll let him lead us. But all along, God's raising up a little David. Now here's all of Israel going into battle. Here's Goliath coming out. Half angelic, demonic being. No man can ever defeat him. Huge, big, voice so powerful that he paralyzed God's people with just the sound of his voice. He comes out every day, their champion, and he paralyzes the people. I got news for everybody in here. You're going to face a Goliath in your life. I would love to tell you that when you get saved, everything is going to be a bunch of roses. But you're going to face some Goliaths in your life because there's demonic forces that don't want you to go any further. If all you do is clap your hands in church, they'll be all right with you. But the minute you really want to make a move for God, all the hell is going to come at you and at your home and on your kids and on your finances. Everything the devil can do, he's going to try to get your mind off of the call of God that's upon your life. He doesn't care who he kills to do it. Goliath comes out, and he sets the terms of battle. Turn around and tell your neighbor, never let the devil set the terms of battle. Goliath comes out, and he determines how it's going to be. He says, you pick a man to fight me, and whoever wins, the other army will be their slave. Says, when did the devil get to determine your terms of warfare? Since when does the devil get to determine the terms of your warfare? And why do we always receive his terms? Hit your neighbor and say, don't you settle for less. Hit him, hit him. I said hit him. You didn't hit him. I said hit him and say, don't you settle for less. And hit him again and say, don't let the devil determine the terms of battle. How come when the devil gives us a report, well, they're going to die, we just accept it. Well, they're never going to get saved, we just accept it. Well, you're always going to have cancer. Your mama died of it, your grandmother died of it, and you're going to die. Why do we have to accept that report? I don't have to accept his terms of battle. I don't have to fight the way he wants me to fight. He set the terms of battle, and they agreed to it, and because of it, an entire army that could have wiped him out because they had the promises of God on their side was paralyzed in fear. And every day that Goliath came out, he got bigger and stronger in their eyes because they fed him faith. See, faith works two ways. It works for you and it works against you. So every day they begin to go to each other, Goliath is going to come out. He's so big, he's so powerful, he's so strong, he's going to destroy us all. And they begin to testify to each other about how strong and how powerful Goliath was, and what they were actually doing was they were giving him their strength. And now when he came out, he was actually taller and bigger in their eyes when he never increased in power. Turn around and tell your neighbor, who are you giving your power to? Tell your other neighbor and say, who are you giving your faith to? Because they could have jumped him. They could have all ran out there and jumped them, and God would have been with them. But because they testified to one another, they more and more fear hit their lives. And you know what happened to them? The Bible says they hid in the ditches in fear. Turn around and tell your neighbor, they were stuck. Have you ever been stuck? Have you ever been in a place where it seems like you can't go forward. You know you can't go back, but you just feel like nothing is happening. You're just stuck. You said, I really don't feel God no more than I felt Him last year. I really don't feel my ministry growing. I really don't feel like anything has happened in my life. I really don't feel like God is moving me any further. I just feel stuck. Still got this sickness I'm fighting. I feel stuck. And every time I try to make a move, fear comes over me. You ain't going to accomplish that. You're not going to be healed. There's no way you can do that. I'm going to take your house. You'll never get a job. You'll never finish school. You'll never make it to missions. Every time I try to get out of the trench, Goliath is right there. Look at me in the eyes and I'll take you on one-on-one. But let me tell you something. It's not going to stop with you. It's not going to stop with you. If Goliath can get you, your wife is next. Your husband is next. Your son and your daughter is next. He's not just there for you. He wants to enslave your family. He's only coming to do three things. He's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. And at some point in this message, if you don't get out of this trench, it's all over for you. This is not a game. He's not just coming to tickle your ears. He spiritually wants to wipe you off the face of the earth. But if you don't get out of that trench, it's all over. It may be you today, but tomorrow he's coming after your daughter. But he's got to go through you. But when you're stuck, what have you ever been stuck? You ever been a pastor and you preached your heart out and you had 30 people, now you got 20 in 10 years and you're just stuck. You're trying all these mission projects. You're trying all these building projects. And every time you try to do something, it seems like 10 other things happen. And then you find yourself just... You say, God just gave me a raise. I just got a new job. And now I just lost my job. And now all of a sudden I'm stuck. I just can't get ahead. I can't get any further. I'm just stuck. And I really can't tell nobody because I don't want them to know where I really am. So I come to church and just pretend everything is okay. But inside, I'm stuck. I'm stuck. Somebody don't help me. I'm stuck. And Goliath is looking over me. And he's saying, stay there. Amen. In the same place you was last year, you'll be there next year, this time during camp meeting. Because Goliath trenches. Too afraid to step out on God's word. Too afraid to do what God tells you to do. Too afraid to believe God for a miracle. You're hiding in the trenches. But the sad thing is, it's folks that's hiding in the trenches with you. You're going to get out hanging now. You're going to get out hanging now. Then we'll be here together next year with the same testimony. Have you ever been stuck? And the worst thing of all is they lost their shout. Didn't matter they had the Ark of the Covenant. Didn't matter they had the prophet. So bound by fear, they lost their shout. I'm not talking about that natural shout. I'm talking about like a shabak. I mean, when you just shout like you lost your mind. Amen, because you know how good God has been to you. And every other battle, they started that battle with a shout. It let the enemy know, yeah, you may have more people than us. You may have more weapons than us. But no weapon formed against us will ever prosper. Because the God that we serve, He is the only real God. And He is the only living God. And though you may outnumber us, you'll never outnumber Him. But they lost. Shout. I can't shout. I'm stuck. I can't shout. I can't get out of this mess. And I can't pretend no more. See, in the beginning, everybody was all tough. But see, after a while, when that thing work on you, you can't hide it no more. You can't dance over it no more. You can't amen it over it no more. It's either change or die. Amen. God is bringing His church and it's in time to a decision-making place, a reality place. The days of playing church is far long past. God is looking for a generation in this last day. He's going to pour His Spirit out on. That's going to look in the face of the giant and say, if I die, I die. But I refuse to bow to you. stuck in that trench. I'm dealing with somebody here because God told me there was people in here that were stuck. You stuck looking at a ministry that you thought would be further than it is. You stuck thinking that your sons and your daughters will be saved by now, and you feel stuck and you feel trapped and you feel like your life is not where it should be. But I'm here to tell you, hang on in there, because you're about to get out of this ditch. Turn around and tell your neighbor in just a few minutes, we're breaking out. You give me a minute. I haven't started my message. I'm still in my opening. I told you my message is just a few minutes. The opening will just get you there. Amen. But now David is being called to battle, not to fight, but to bring food to his brothers. Turn around and tell your neighbor, God knows how to put you in the right place at the right time. And hit your neighbor and say, recognize your moment. And now hit them and say, and don't miss it when it comes. Because see, there's a lot of times that God will quicken something to your spirit. There's a lot of times that God will speak something to you, and we wait too many minutes and it passes by and it doesn't come again. But you gotta know your moment when it comes, and you gotta take it when it happens. David is coming to bring food, and he hears Goliath out there cursing, and he's the only one shouting, woohoo! Yeah. They're going, this nappy-headed, crazy boy, shut up! You shouting, that giant going to look this way and throw a spear at us and kill us. We're going to be a bunch of Israelite shish kebabs if you don't shut up. David kept shouting. Our God is a powerful God. Our God is a good God. Our God is the Lord of hosts. He's never been defeated. He's never lost a battle. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. They got mad at David. They said, you came here to start trouble tonight. David looked at him and said, is there not a cause? Can I talk to somebody for a minute? Is there not a cause? You got people in your family that's not saved. You got people in your family on drugs. You got people in your family going to hell. You got a community that don't want to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you, there's a reason for you to get stirred. There's a reason for you to shout. There's a reason for you to glorify God. Because if you don't, there's an enemy that's going to take a world to hell. There's a reason why we preach. There's a reason why we sing. There's a reason why we shout. Is there not a cause? Yes, there is. Hit your neighbor real quick and say, I got a reason to praise him. Tell him I can mean it. Say, I got a reason to glorify God. Say, I got a cause. Tell him, I got a cause. I got a cause. I got a cause. There's a purpose. There's a reason why I praise him. There's a reason. Is there not a cause? He says, if you can't do it, don't hinder me. And they take David. Because David said, look, I know y'all older than me. But if none of y'all is brave enough to fight this giant, I may not have the armor on. I may not have been trained. Amen. I don't got 4 Bible college degrees on the wall, and nobody's officially gave me a title. All I've been doing is taking care of my daddy's sheep. But there's one thing I learned. I'm not afraid of nobody. If you God's enemy, then you're going down. And if you're too scared to fight, then you put me before Saul. Hit your neighbor and say, well, if you're scared, then let me at him. They bring David before Saul. And Saul goes, little boy, who you think you are? You ain't even taller than my waist. Who you going to fight? Go on back home and take care of your daddy's sheep. He's been a man of war from his youth, and you just a child. Turn around and tell your neighbor, don't you let the devil dictate your destiny. How many of us would have backed down? Because the demon-possessed king told us. And I could preach a long time right there because... Oh, I'm gonna get myself in trouble. You got to be careful. And it doesn't matter who their title is, when they're out of the will and they don't have the Spirit of God and they're trying to counsel you, it doesn't work. You better be careful who you get your advice from. You can't get spiritual counsel from a devil. How many of us would have backed down because somebody in authority said, you ain't good enough? How many of us would have cowered away because the enemy says you ain't good enough? You don't got the education. You're not old enough. You're not strong enough. You ought to be a man. You ought to be a woman. You ought to be a boy. You ought to be a girl. They got all these reasons why you can't do what the Holy Ghost is telling you you can. How many of us would have backed down? But hit your neighbors and don't you let the devil dictate your destiny. Tell them like you mean it. Don't you let the devil tell you what you can or can't do. You got to remember that same demon that's in Goliath is working on Saul and they're trying to destroy you. David is in the middle of a great fix. He's got a demon-possessed king on one side and a giant full of a devil on the other, and he's smack dab in the middle of two demons. But the God that he serves is greater than Saul and greater than Goliath. Wow! My God, somebody shout it here. Somebody shout. Woo! In the natural, I seem to be outnumbered. But you don't see what I see. Don't you define me by my age. Don't you define me by my clothes. Don't you define me by my education. You may not know this, but in a back room somewhere, on my knees, I was anointed. I got news for you. Anointing has nothing to do with gender. Anointing has nothing to do with education. Anointing has nothing to do with money. But it has everything to do with the Spirit of God. David said, don't you judge me because you don't know me like that. Hit your neighbor and say, you don't know me that well. Hit him again and say, you don't know me like that. Because see, you think I'm not. But see, what you don't know is that I was taking care of my daddy's sheep. And a lion came. And I knew that when my daddy counted those sheep and he got to 99, he was going to know what happened to the one. Because my daddy is a good overseer. And I fear my daddy more than I fear the lion. Some preacher ought to hear me tonight. Before you lose a sheep, you better go in the battle. Come on here. He said, I chased that lion down and I pulled that sheep out of the lion's mouth. Saul got a little impressed. He said, but you're still not ready. He said, oh, but I'm not done testifying yet. All he needed now was an organ and it would have been all right. He said, but then a bear. Y'all should be able to relate to bears. There's a whole lot of them around here. And I ain't talking about Goldilocks and the three bears. Right. Right. Amen. That bear came, grabbed one of those sheep. That little boy went after that bear, grabbed him, threw him down, took that sheep out of his mouth. That wasn't natural power. That was the anointing of the Holy Ghost. If the anointing ever gets on you, you'll say things you never thought you'd say. If the anointing ever gets on you, you'll conquer things you never thought. You can conquer the anointing ever gets on you. You'll chase down lions. You'll chase down bears. You'll run over troops and go through walls because of the anointing. And David said, and that giant is going to be just like them. Everybody thought that Goliath was too big to hit. David just said he's too big to miss. He's too big to miss. So Saul says, take my armor. Demon-possessed king. giving me his armor. That don't add up. Because Saul, if your armor was so good, how come you don't put it on and go fight the giant yourself? See, now this is where we got to be careful of pride. Because see, the devil could have got David right there, because David could have said, I could have put on the king's armor and marched out there in the fields. And everybody would have said, look at David. He's in the king's armor. He's going to be the next king of Israel. But David didn't have that pride. See, because I don't have to preach like you to be anointed. I don't have to wear your armor to overcome the devil. I don't got to go to the same Bible college you went to teach this gospel. I don't have to imitate anybody else. I don't got to be anybody else. I don't got to preach like anybody else. I can be myself. Turn and tell your neighbor, you'll never be more anointed than you are when you're yourself. David said, I can't use that because that's not been proven. Well, what do you got, David? Let me see what I got. I got a slingshot. Watch this. Because the devil has a way. Oh, my God. The devil has a way of making you feel that what you have to offer is not good enough. What do you mean you're going to bring that toy to battle? What do you mean you're going to bring that song? What do you mean you're going to bring that message? What do you mean you're going to bring that scripture? That's not good enough to take down a giant who's a half demonic being that nobody else can beat. How are you going to go to battle with a slingshot? And if David would have let him, he would have lost the battle. Because he would have said, what God gave me ain't good enough. And sometimes we think that our scripture ain't good enough. And our prayer ain't good enough. And our song is not good enough. Amen. And our ministry is not good enough. We're looking for something greater than what God gave us. Amen. So we'll lay down the thing that the devil knows will destroy him to pick up something else that we'll die in battle over. Come on here. You better hear what I'm saying. Here, hit your neighbor and say, hang on to your slingshot, baby. Hit him again and say, hang on to your slingshot, baby. Because that's the thing that's proven. That's the thing that saw you through rough times. That's the thing that caused you to overcome the lion and the bear. That's the thing that brought you this far. Hang on to your slingshot. They're going to make fun of you, but hang on to your slingshot. They're going to laugh at you, but hang on to your slingshot. When you go out to battle and they see that stick with that rubber band, they all going to say, he about to die. But you already know different. Because this slingshot is the thing the devil's afraid of. He's trying to give you armor of gold. He's trying to bring you into a king's room. But you better remember when you get to your high place how you got there. And don't change in the midst of people. And don't change what you believe because God has elevated you. But hang on to your slingshot. Don't change who you are. Hit your neighbor. Say, I'm not about to compromise now. What is your slingshot tonight? It could be a song. It could be a testimony. It could be a scripture. It may just be a hum. Mm-hmm. To everybody else, they'll laugh at it, but the devil will get nervous because he knows when you're about to hum, you're about to pray. Come on here. It looks like a toy. To everybody else, it looks like a toy. But the devil knows if you bring that slingshot to battle, something dead is going to happen. My God! Shake about three people's hands and say, use your slingshot. Don't give it up. Don't let it go. Don't throw it away. They may laugh at you, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. My God, somebody give God a shout. I got a slingshot. I got a slingshot. I got. Laugh at me if you want to. I got a slingshot. Talk about me if you want to. I got a slingshot. I'd rather have God than the gold of a king. I'd rather have God than the prestige of men. Talk about me. Laugh about me. But I got a slingshot. My God, somebody clap your hands and give God a shout of praise. I got a slingshot. I got it. I got a slingshot. Hit three people and say, I got a slingshot and hell can't have it. Hell can't have it. Hell can't have it. Saul can't have it. Goliath can't have it. God gave me a slingshot. I ain't got much education, but I got a slingshot. The devil, he thought I left it in Saul's chamber, but I put it in my back pocket because I didn't want him to know I didn't give up my weapon. Turn around and tell your neighbor, don't give up your weapon. Don't you give that testimony up. Don't you give that song up. Hang on to your slingshot. The devil's scared of you now because he understands. You recognize you got something that can come against all the kingdoms of hell. You recognize you got a power that's greater than all his power. And it's wrapped up in a slingshot. Shake about five people's hands and say, I got a slingshot. If you got to get out of your seat, shake their hands and say, I got a slingshot. I got something that'll overcome hell. I got something that'll overcome the devil. I got something that'll cause me to prevail. I got a slingshot. Devil's getting nervous now. Come on. They tell David. They say, can I take this jacket off? I tried to be good. I tried to be dignified. But I feel like David tonight. You may not like the way I look. You may not like the way I dress. But thank God I got a slingshot. My God. Somebody shout. They tell David, that's it. Saul said, then go ahead. Go to battle. Goliath was this way. But David went that way. Because God is a God of times and seasons. There's a time to be still. And there's a time to fight. It's not time to fight yet. But it's almost time. But before you go to battle with the giant, I need you to go to the river. Before you fight Goliath in battle, I need you to go to the brook. I got something in the water for you. Turn around and tell your neighbor, before you fight the giant, you got to get to the water. I wish you helped me preach right here. Tell about three people, before you fight the giant, get to the river. David is now guided by the Holy Ghost to the river. Turn around and tell your neighbor, whenever you see water in the Bible, many times it's a type of Holy Ghost when it's flowing. If it ain't flowing, don't stay by it. But if that river is a flowing, if that brook is a flowing, then many times God uses it as a type of Holy Ghost. And he's saying, before you kill this giant, you got to get to the river. You got to get to the flowing brook. You got to get to where the waters of the Holy Ghost are flowing, because I got something in that water that can kill that giant. The problem is, most of us would have organized going to the river. And we would have made it a religion. We would have put our toe in it. Twinkle, twinkle, little toe. Now I dub thee so that thou knowest. I put my toe in the water. Now I'm ready. Or we come to the altar and we try to organize God. We give him a robotic praise. Amen. The rule. Yeah. Or we do our patented dance. Or our patented spin. And as long as what we do, we know how to do, we say we got ours. But this is not that type of flowing. This is not that organized one. This is not that one that's a part of your routine. This is not the one that you can control. This is the one where God is leading you to the river, because you need to pull out something that's real enough to overcome a real giant that's about to kill you for real. Everything you need to accomplish is behind that giant. You hear me, son? He stands in the way of everything you want to accomplish. If you don't kill him, he'll come back until you're dead. There's some things you can't play with. Amen. You got to kill, because it's going to kill you. Jesus told us the enemy cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. So I have to understand there's some things that's after my life. And Jesus said he's not after you. He's after the kingdom of God that's within you. He can't touch Jesus. Jesus already defeated him 2,000 years ago. But there is a vehicle still here called the church. And if he can stop you, he'll stop the kingdom up in you. And God has to use somebody else. If I don't kill that giant, my sons are next. My daughter's next. I'm telling you, when I give this altar call tonight, one or two things is going to die. You make up your mind which one is going to be. Because somebody is not leaving here alive tonight. Somebody's going to die tonight. Turn around to your neighbor, it's not going to be me. Somebody's going to die, but it's not going to be me. Somebody's not getting up when the dust is settled. There's only going to be one person standing, and it's not going to be Goliath. He said, I got to bring this down, or my church ain't going to make it. My ministry's not going to make it. But it's not enough to just go to the brook. That'll never get you where you want to go in the ministry. You got to get in. It's not enough to dance on the outside of the Spirit of God and never get saturated. It's not enough to spew out a little prayer language but never get baptized in the Holy Ghost enough to talk in tongues as the Spirit of God give you utterance. It's not enough just to dance and to run and to jump. You got to be filled with power from on high. You got to get from the banks and get in the river. I wish you'd tell about three people get off the banks and get in the river. If anything is going to change, it's going to be because you get in the river. If anybody's going to be healed, it's because you're going to get in the river. If anybody's going to be delivered, it's because you get in the river. If anything is going to change, you got to get in the river. Hit your neighbor and say, what are you going to do when the altar call come? You going to be cute or you going to get in the river? You going to organize it or you going to get in the river? You going to try to control it or you going to get in? So I'll tell your neighbor, it's not enough just to get in. Say, you got to get all the way down in there. Tell them you got to get saturated. Because what you're looking for is not on the bank. And what you're looking for is not on the top of the water. Tell them, I tell your neighbor, you got to go deep. That river is a type of Holy Ghost. And what you're looking for is in the Spirit of God. Stand. That we can reach into the Spirit of God and pull out something tangible. How do I know? Because people tap in to the Holy Spirit of God and people get healed of cancer and AIDS. They pulled into something invisible, but pulled out something tangible for the world to see. This giant ain't going away unless somebody can reach in that river and pull out something real. I'm not talking about something make-believe. I'm not talking about something you can tell everybody for show. But I mean reaching into the river of God and pulling out something that'll scare your enemies. Hallelujah. If you ever get in the river, if you ever reach in deep enough, you'll grab a hold of something real that'll kill your giant. Turn around to your neighbor. Are you willing to reach for it tonight? Say, are you willing to reach for it? You may look foolish, but are you willing to get down into the depths of the Holy Ghost? David said, I know there's something in this water that can kill that giant. I know there's something in here that can kill that demonic spirit because God would have never led me here. God would have never led you to church tonight if there wasn't something at this altar that could kill your giant. If you reach for it, if you search for it, you're going to pull up something that can kill your giant. David grabbed a hold of those stones, went out to that field. That giant, we read it earlier, he said, you come at me with those sticks? Am I a dog? Turn around and tell your neighbor, never let the devil have the last word in your life. Never let the devil have the last word. Don't you go to bed with one thought from hell in your mind saying what God can't do. You let God have the last word. You keep quoting scriptures until you fall asleep. But let the last word be God's word. And David was not about to let the Goliath have the last word. He began to prophesy. He said, I don't care what you think about me, but this day is not the way you think. And he rewrote his destiny. Yeah. Turn around and tell your neighbor, you got the power to rewrite your ending. I know the devil's telling you you're going to die. I know the devil's telling you you can't make it. But God has given you the authority and the Holy Ghost to rewrite your ending. Turn around and tell three people how you want your ending to be. All right, I said I wasn't going to be long. I lied. Give me one more minute. I never got at my opening, but we'll end. David came out of that water, Pastor Coleman, soaking wet. That's how you have to go to battle. Not dry. Saturated. You want things to change in your home? Go home saturated. You want things to change at your job? Go to your job saturated. So saturated that drops of the anointing fall off your feet everywhere you go. When people look at you, they know that you've been in the river. They know you had an experience with God because it's dropping all over you. There's an anointing all over you. There's a covering all over you. You've been in the presence of God. The ordinary just won't do. An ordinary touch is not enough. I gotta get saturated in the anointing. David's walking on a field. He's soaking wet. He grabs a hold of a stone, puts it in, hits your neighbor and says, that's a slingshot. He throws it, and the Spirit of God touches it. Hits Goliath in the head. He falls down dead. The enemy's not moving, and Israel's not moving. Turn around and tell your neighbor, when your enemy falls, there's going to be 6 seconds of silence. Because your enemy is shocked that you just killed his greatest warrior with a toy. And Israel's in shock. Because how many of you know, do I got a minute? How many of you know our destinies are connected? That means somewhere along the way, see, I need you to be in victory because at a certain point in my life, I'm going to need you to do something that's going to cause me to have victory, that's going to cause him to have victory, that's going to cause him to have victory. But if you miss it, I miss it, he misses it, and he misses it because our destinies are connected. So as long as you stay in the trench, somebody else is going to be defeated because they need something that only you have that God put in you from the foundation of the world, and that's why you can't stay in a ditch. I need you to come out. So as long as he's hiding, it affected all of Israel. But turn around to your neighbor, we got 5 more seconds of silence. Because the devil's still shocked that this person that he saw cleaning up sheep dung and walking around with sandals and no clothes on just killed his greatest enemy. He ain't got no training. He never saw this coming. Turn around to your neighbor, there's only 4 more seconds left. Because Israel once was frozen, and now the enemy's frozen. But what they don't realize is that with every second goes by, they're getting more paralyzed and you're getting more free. Turn around and tell your neighbor, I'm freer than I was 3 seconds ago. And tell them, check me out in about 2 more seconds. Say, so because I'm about to let out a shout. Here's David. He climbs on Goliath. He had to make sure that everybody could see. Enemies in shock. Israel's in shock. But there's something different. They climbed out of the ditch. See, when I first started, some of you were still hiding, wondering how God was going to do it for your family and how God was going to turn around for your job and how God was going to move in your church and move in your ministry. But right now, you're on the top of the ditch, looking down into a valley at a giant that you think is just about dead. Turn on, hit your neighbor and say, hope has come. But say, but I'm not really shouting yet. Just give me a minute. And David,
by the power of the Holy Ghost, picks up a sword that a natural man probably couldn't carry. And the thing that should have killed you, you now holding it. My God, somebody ought to rejoice right there. Somebody ought to rejoice right there. Somebody should have to hold you down, because the thing that should have killed you, you're holding in your hand. This should have killed me. It should have killed my family. It should have taken me. What is a nice sword? He holds it up for the devil to see, for the enemy to see, for Israel to see. Hit your neighbor and say, your neighbor needs to see your victory. Tell them, because they know where you've been. And they know your testimony. And half of them know your fears and your defeats and the things that hinder you. So guess what's going to happen when they see you standing on Goliath, holding up the thing that you thought was going to kill you? Guess what's going to happen when they see you holding up the sword that you thought was going to destroy your home? Come on, tell your neighbor, this should have killed me. Say, it should have taken me out. But I'm holding it tonight. And David, by the Spirit of God, he takes that sword. He cuts Goliath's head off. But that's not enough, because Israel's still quiet. He holds it up. If he was from my city, he'd be like, that's right, I'm bad. I'm bad. That's right. He holds the head up. And this is what I believe will happen with all my heart. The same thing that they told him, don't do no more. David let out a shout that filled the mountains. Hallelujah! A deliverer. Your God is faithful. Your God is I want those that stay standing, stay standing. Because God's going to use you as an example. Because God said, I needed one to set my brothers free. And what happened is when David shouted, the spirit of the breaker, the one that breaks the yokes, the anointing, it went through him. Pop, 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 pop. When David shouted, the spirit of God went through the trenches and it set a nation free. And all at once, the whole army of Israel got their shout back. Everybody that's standing, give God another shout of praise. Somebody give God a shout. My God, give God a shout. Oh, somebody praise him right now. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, my God. Testified about three people and said, you can go ahead and shout, I got his head. I got his head. I got his head. He ain't going to hurt you. I got his head. He's not going to stop you. I got his head. Go on! Shout!
and the whole army, they got this shout back. Hit three people, say, God is going to give you your shout back. What type of shout is that? That's a shout of victory. That's a shout of deliverance. That's a shout of triumph. That's a shout of power. God! God! God is going to give you your shout back. The rest of you stand to your feet. Shake about seven people's hands and say, this day, God has given the enemy into your hands. This day, not tomorrow, not next week, this day, your God has given you the victory. Yeah. And they pursued their enemies, and they destroyed them. Tonight I'm going to give a different altar call than one that's normal. And I don't want you to come unless you mean business with God. Tonight, I'm calling for a group of people that's willing to get in the river and don't care what people think about you, and don't care what you look like, and don't care what you sound like. You just want to move of God. You just want to be saturated in the power of the Holy Ghost. You're tired of hiding in trenches. You're tired of Goliath holding down your kids and binding things in your life and stopping you from going where you need to go. He's got to die tonight. He cannot live another day. He doesn't have another hour. I've got to get to the river and grab a hold of something that's real enough to bring this giant down.